Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. This is Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Doug. How are you today?
Well, you're just driving me crazy because, you know, your discovery that you've been working on now for a couple of weeks is maybe the biggest thing we've ever found. And that is saying a lot because we have discovered together and through research of all these researchers, we've brought up to light some things that the British government does not want to be brought to light. And what you have now done is amazing. I'm going to prepare a backdrop for this, if you don't mind. Take a couple minutes. Because this story is huge. And what you're going to find us doing today is kind of stumbling through this because the research is still pouring in. And the further you look, the more you see, and the scarier it is, and the more pervasive it is. So what happened was the following. The coronavirus came up as a topic, and somehow people asked the researchers to tell us about it. So bingo, we found a very specific company in Britain that actually owns that patent and owns a vaccine for that, a patent for that coronavirus. And it's in England, of course. And so that started some research that then went to a topic that we had previously looked at it, and I only got a little ways with the subject of a company called Kinetic. And take the K out and the C out at the beginning and end and put Q's there. So no one can pronounce this word when you actually look at it on the page, which kind of helps obfuscate what it is because you can't even say it. But the name of it is Kinetic. Now, Kinetic, Q at the end, Q at the last, well, we like to say it's the queen from beginning to end. From Q to Q. It's also Q, who was in James Bond, the guy who invented everything, or the Q Continuum, which was in, of course, Star Trek, which was the ultimate intelligence, or the Q Clearance on 4chan and 8chan. And so you get to see that people love to use Q as a definer of their high intelligence. Well, we looked at this, I looked at it and said, okay, this company seems very odd. They do a lot of stuff and they seem to say they can do anything. Well, that can't be true. So I assumed that it was just PR and nonsense. Nope, it's true. They can do anything from steal patents to spy on satellites to create new coronavirus retroviruses that can be a pandemic that can depopulate the world, that can have every type of satellite hookup link that you can possibly imagine. So that means that they're spying. They're connected to the military. And in a strange way, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it, Michael, when your researchers uncovered this and then you found where it was. And this character, Lord Pirbright, which you're going to tell us about today. But I'm sorry, when this happened, my head exploded. And so that's the reason I have to talk about this today, to find out that Lord Pirbright is Henry de Worms, whose father was Solomon de Worms, who is a Rothschild. And Solomon de Worms basically fleeced Ceylon, the entire island. And he's a Rothschild. And so he set up a beautiful example for Henry de Worms to come back to England and do it there, and then basically to be, at least idealistically, a beautiful teacher for Cecil Rhodes. We were trying to figure out, where did Cecil Rhodes get all that evil, that imperialistic desire for empire to put everyone below them that isn't part of the Anglo-white race? We couldn't quite get that. We know about Lord Shelburne and others, but and the British East India Company. But no, I had totally missed Henry de Worms. Never heard of him. Little did I know that the importance that he has in all of this. So you're going to try to take what I'm saying, which is a very broad, broad picture, because what we're saying is Kinetic seems to be the place that Serco's information gets fed into, that Five Eyes gets fed into, that the British military gets fed into. In other words, this is like what we would call the rogue CIA. So this could be a rogue British intelligence group that creates viruses, that spies on everything that is digital and has been doing this for a long, long time, and that these places in Perbright are all connected, and it seems as if you have hit the jackpot of basically the Queen's corporate control of the British military, United Kingdom, Five Eyes intelligence sharing with America, and basically everything else. Because if you can create a virus, like, look how many billions of dollars China is losing because a British virus got released somehow in China. So when you look at this, you can say, oh, the British have never stopped. They're the inventors of germ warfare, the British are. And if you invent something really great like that, then you're going to get the Order of the British Empire, or you're going to get knighted by the Queen. And for sure, no matter what, as long as this is, you know, the land that is basically owned by Lord Pirbright, Henry de Worms, Rothschild, that it's also mixed with the military. So the Queen's immunity comes into this company because it looks as if the Carlyle Group, when it folded, because everybody found out this group that George H.W. Bush joined after he was the president, and he went from being a millionaire to a billionaire in 1 year because they had 400 military contractors underneath one banner called Carlyle. Carlyle comes over and buys a huge share of the company we're talking about, Kinetic. Not only that, again, because of the excellent researchers, we have found that the Queen owns the controlling shares of this company. So this is no joke. This is no conspiracy. We know the people who were involved. And the only thing we couldn't get was the question I asked you a couple days ago. And I said, I don't get it. I don't get it, Mike. Ask your researchers the following. This place we're talking about, this company, Kinetic, isn't just on one place. It's like got many, many places in England. Some of them are literally military bases. But this group, who is this group? Well, and how can they control spying on satellites if they don't have the crypto keys? And you turned immediately to me and said, Michael Chertoff is part of this group, as well as we would know that Arvinder Sambhai and the controller for Robert Mueller, they have crypto keys. So there's the crypto keys. The only part that I hadn't been able to put into the puzzle to say, it looks like this group can do anything from accelerated particle beams that can literally shoot satellites out of the sky to spy on anything, anywhere, at any time under the complete immunity of the Queen's monarchy in a militaristic, corporate, rogue kind of NSA, CIA corporation that is huge. So that is just my little thumbnail of what you have discovered. I don't know how you're going to pick up what I've just said, because there's a thousand ways to go that you have already proven all of these things. So, Michael, when you... I know we haven't had time to stand back. That's the reason I'm ranting like a fool. But when you're standing back now and looking at this, what do you think you found with Kinetic?
We found a missing piece. And you said it earlier. It was the missing piece of who was directing Cecil Rhodes, who was running cover for Cecil Rhodes and Alfred Milner, because they weren't operated. They didn't just start. Somebody got them in the business. And we need to go back to the beginning of this research, which was who owns this coronavirus. And one of our folks went and looked at the patent office, and it was easy to find. This coronavirus is owned by the British Pirbright Institute. And of course, none of us had heard of it. And in fact, we haven't focused on viruses and vaccines at all in any of our research over the last 7, 8, 9 years. So we took some time to look at it, and this the Pirbright Institute, it's called, has a nefarious history, which is all tied up in the British government and, as you said, in its early experiments in germ warfare and chemical warfare. And the development of vaccines through the Burroughs Wellcome company, Henry Wellcome. So the time frame we're talking about, when it now is very clear, a lot of the current attempts by the new British Empire, I'll call it, to continue developing a British control of the world along with America, it happened in the 1880s forward, and a lot of things got going right then. And it was puzzling how these people were able to operate down in South Africa and in the U.S. and in their relations with the British Empire of the world, without knowing who in Parliament was really providing them cover. And so the Purbright Institute came up. So we just started looking, where is this? It's about 7 miles from Guildford, which is it's a bedroom community of West London. And it's a very nice area. I've booked Christian music concerts in that area many times. And it's very pretty to drive through. And then stuck on an estate just south of the little village of Purbright, and it is truly a little village, is the Purbright Institute. And it's this very large facility, which you can see from satellites, many buildings. You go on their website, and they boast of having funding from the likes of Bill and Melinda Gates, the Wellcome Trust, which, by the way, those are the two largest foundations providing grants on the planet. Bill Gates Foundation is number one, and the Wellcome Trust is number two. And then you go down their list on their documents, and you see the European Commission, you see that's the EU, you see the World Health Organization, and on and on. So there's a lot of money and influence in that Purbright Institute. So we said, well, why did they name it Purbright? And to cut a long story short, they named it Purbright after the first Lord Purbright, who became a baron, and he was given that title by Queen Victoria. And he has two actual names, and I'll just go with the second one. His name is Henry de Worms, first Baron Purbright. That's his full name that's on most histories. And as we dug deeper into this Purbright person, there's a couple of angles we can go here, but let me just stick on the family. Henry de Worms is married to a Rothschild, and he is the great-grandson of Amschel Rothschild, who started the Rothschild banking dynasty. So he is obviously a very connected individual, and we've learned further that when he was a young man, he lived in Ceylon with his father, Solomon, as you said, on the Rothschild estate. The Rothschild connection is on his mom's side, by the way. And they traded tea, coffee, and no doubt spices for the British East India Company, who the Rothschilds are well known to have funded for hundreds of years. So he comes back to England, and he was given Austrian titles. He and his family were given Austrian titles, which Queen Victoria recognized. And so therefore he became an immediate peer of the British realm. And he must have been a good speaker, because in the 1880s, he was a member of Parliament from 86 to 92. And during that time, he was the Minister of Trade, which is one of the most powerful positions in the British Parliament, in the British Cabinet. And then he was the Minister for the Colonies. So from that 86 to 92, he was a very powerful man in the UK and the British Empire. And it was exactly during that time, for example, that David Livingstone and Henry Stanley, Henry M. Stanley, the explorer that is supposed to have famously said, Mr. Livingstone, I presume, He went on numerous expeditions to Africa. And on the surface, he was supposed to be looking for David Livingston. But what we now conclude is that Stanley was a mercenary. He was a promoter, as was Purbright. And their one of their objectives was clearly to find poisons and cures in Africa, which Wellcome could then commercialize and distribute through the Wellcome laboratories. And at the same time, he was on a mission for the British East India Company to acquire the wealth of West Africa, especially the mining wealth in gold and diamonds. And he was closely teamed with the Rothschilds because he was involved with the setup of the British South Africa Company in Parliament, and we have the actual records of the parliamentary discussions on this, where they set up a corporation called the British South Africa Company, which Rhodes was the leader, at the same time as N.M. Rothschild, another great-grandson, along with Baron Purbright, funded the De Beers Diamond and Mining and Gold Company, and that became one of the chief funders of this British South Africa Corporation. And one of the most interesting aspects of this is they developed it so that it was a corporation that would run South Africa, not the British government, but this corporation. And this corporation would collect taxes, it would run its police force, and it would be independently operated. Now, that sounds very much like a fascist organization. And what we now see is that this was the origins of what we're going to call British imperial fascist corporatism. I know that's a lot of words. British imperial, meaning under the Queen. Fascist corporatism means the Queen is going to give special, Queen or King, give special positions to these corporations as long as they pay their fealty to the monarch and pay their taxes. And so at every point when members of Parliament tried to question this arrangement, they were shut down. And it was Henry de Worms, first Baron Purbright, that led the suppression of any criticism of this new British South Africa Company, which the Rothschilds were also invested in. So here we've got Henry Wellcome collecting drugs to be sent back to the UK. And Wellcome has got a facility through the trust on the Purbright property. And in addition to that, the explorer Stanley has a tomb, memorial, monument at the Purbright Church. So clearly Baron Purbright, or Lord Purbright as he was in earlier days, was their guiding light for the development of this reorganization of the British Empire around imperialist corporatism. And this explains how that British South Africa Company gained so much power in South Africa. And then we see, as Rhodes is getting older and sick, Lord Milner and John Buchan come in, and they press by the way, Purbright promoted both Boer Wars. And in the Second Boer War, they set up a concentration camp. And as timing would have it, Douglas, we've just gotten a slew of documents from South Africa documenting the death of children in these war concentration camps. And they describe hideous treatment of these children and symptoms, which we're still getting medical people to tell us what these symptoms are. But they clearly believed they were being experimented with at the time. And these would have been those Wellcome medicine chests. So Henry Wellcome and the whole idea of using vaccines as a bioweapon goes way back to the late 1800s, early 1900s. And Henry Wellcome, and isn't it interesting that his trust would be the largest trust, second largest trust in the world today, giving grants out to researchers to further refine this strategy. Now that I'm just going to stop there for a minute because there's some other angles here.
Well, I don't know why you're stopping because this is so good. It's riveting to hear this. And I just want to, I'll just underscore a few things you were saying. Basically, you're describing the weaponization of corporate big pharmaceutical.
Yes.
And
question at all.
Yeah. It's like shocking that they are so blatant about it and that they will say, oh no, we have patents. They brag about their patents. You can find this on their website. When you read these things, you can hardly believe them. And now, myself, I keep being embarrassed again and again to say that I actually have a degree in history. And I did not know that the Viennese Habsburg court Jew, Solomon de Worms, was given Ceylon as just an experimental place to show us how far he could fleece basically an entire island, or one could even say a nation. So these were the archetypal corporatizations of what we had seen with the British East India Company, the Dutch East India Company, the German Hanseatic League, and then what you just described as the South Africa.
British South Africa Corporation,
which we know we had ran across them when we were looking at Cecil Rhodes and then Milner and the Transvaal, and the way that they were ripping off the gold and the diamonds and being supported monetarily by Rothschilds and being given fake propaganda, because remember, this is also directly connected to fake propaganda because right. The Kinetics is connected to BBC, and they basically control the airwaves. In a minute, I'm going to make a crazy, crazy speculation for anybody, which you'll have to be very much a follower of us to understand this. But once I say this, and you think about it, I would like to see if anybody can say that it isn't true. But anyway, let's go back.
Well, let me add another layer here because it's really important. In the 80s, in the 1880s, was the period of time when Nikola Tesla was filing all of his many patents for his inventions for wireless, for electric light, for electric motor, for wireless telegraphs. And we counted up during the tenure of Lord Pirbright as the Minister of Trade and the colonies, Tesla had filed 56 patents. And we already knew from previous research that this was exactly the same time that the British Post Office and Admiralty were setting up Marconi as a cutout, as a front man for a Marconi wireless company that the British were going to have a monopoly on. And they were going to give a monopoly contract to the Post Office and to the Admiralty, which would be rock solid. Now, how do we know this? Well, there's a lot of evidence for it now, and there's a lot of discussion in Parliament about these contracts. They entered them in secret in the 1880s during de Worms' tenure. And we also know that they very much saw that the telegraphy business allowed them to better unify their communications throughout the empire, and that as wireless came on, these guys were not stupid. They saw that they wanted to have a monopoly on wireless technology throughout the world. And that's what they worked to achieve. And so when they took Marconi Wireless Public in about 1911, 1912, David Lloyd George, the future prime minister, had conducted insider trading and had gone and bought stock in American Wireless, Marconi Wireless, and got caught. And they actually call it the Marconi scandal, stock scandal. So the intent of these people to have full control over wireless technology, propaganda, the mining and gold rights of the colonies, in this case, South Africa, West Africa, and the Congo, by the way. We also know that Stanley also assisted Leopold II in Belgium to seize control of all the mines in the Congo during the same period. So these guys were on a tear. They were going to organize the British Empire the way they wanted it, and the king was going to go along with it, the queen, then the king. And so there is this odd juxtaposition of pharmaceuticals and wireless technology. And you said it, it's about propaganda. Well, if you're going to conduct bio warfare, it is essential that you control the airwaves, that you control the propaganda, because you might not even have the goods relative to the biopathogen to actually kill an entire population. So what you need to do then is instill fear in them that they might all die, so that you can achieve your objectives through fear. And I think that is why they have been so hell-bent to completely control propaganda as they've moved through the 20th century and now into the 21st century, because they could achieve through propaganda what they didn't achieve through their science.
So true, so true. And we know that some of the people who are controlling members of Kinetic are connected directly to the BBC, to news outlets, to newspapers. Sure. And if you go back, it's not a myth, it is not a conspiracy, that the Rothschilds, from the second year that Reuters existed, was the money behind them, but they were the secret money behind them because they were Jews. So I'm sorry to have to put this in a horrible perspective, but let's do so. The Habsburgs gave Solomon de Worms a title because he was the Viennese court Jew. A long time ago, it was that the Christian kings and queens, the monarchy, couldn't actually involve themselves in usury, and so they used Jews to do their banking. Well, when I hear that we're talking about trusts, we're talking about the Wellcome Trust, we're talking about the Gates Trust, we're talking about all these trusts, they're all charities. In other words, they're all tax-free, but then they own companies that own stolen patents for everything that has been digitized, every satellite, every radio frequency, every type of spying imaginable is going on at the sites that you have uncovered. And we know that they have the propaganda behind them, because Associated Press is nothing more than an extension of Reuters in America. We can trace through the Empire Press Union the fact that when they started the Empire Press Union, it was almost a system. It was almost institutionalized. Well, who started it? Who institutionalized this? It was the Rothschilds. They got the money from the Transvaal, but they also got money from the Congo, everywhere that they were fleecing. They were fleecing every nation that they could, because they thought that they were more powerful than the nation. And that's what we are pointing at here. And here comes my big speculation. Now, you can throw this out the window if you want. But, well, first, let me say, Henry de Worms, okay? Well, he's Jewish, but they gave him land. Oh, but that land is given back and forth to weird companies that are part of trusts and charities, or the military, or the Queen, or whatever. So is Henry de Worms simply the front man for what we see here as the worst form of corporate intelligence that wishes to do what you said, have an imperialistic, globalistic, fascist corporatism? And that's what I think we're looking at. So here's what I'm going to speculate.
Well, when you say front man, I think he's more than a front man. Marconi's a front man for Marconi Wire.
No, you're right. He's the money bag. Sorry.
But Henry de Worms is the Rothschilds that we're talking about. See, that's the thing I think that has been always confusing and puzzling about the involvement of the Rothschilds in various sovereign governments. In that, you know, it's so easy to devolve into conspiracy theory that they're sitting there in the back room devising everything. But in the case of Henry de Worms, he was very out front. He was very public. He was a public minister. He was the first Jewish cabinet minister in the British Empire. First. And it's well known. It was well written about. It wasn't hidden. He was the, I forget the name of the Jewish Association of Synagogues in London, but he was the president. And so everyone in the empire knew that he was Jewish and didn't seem to have a problem with it. There's a lot of discussion about it. It was interesting when one of his daughters wanted to get married to a Christian man. Henry went to the wedding and gave away his daughter in a in a Christian church service, and that really bothered the Jewish community in London, to the point where by the end of his life, he was estranged from the Jewish community completely. That aside, the power that these guys were wielding was all based on the fact that they were using the British Privy Council and the King and Queen to cover all of their activities throughout the world. And so they were sitting there behind the Privy Council, setting up corporations that could do, excuse the colloquial expression, could do whatever the hell they wanted anywhere in the world, and they would get away with it, and they knew it.
Oh, you're That's absolutely what we've right. Got here. Matter of fact, you pointed out that one of the members on the board, one of the big controlling people, is directly linked to the Bank of England. And remember Correct. That the Queen's advisor, the one and only advisor in England, because of the monarchy, you cannot question the Queen's business. So if the Queen owns 20% of Kinetic, you can't talk about Kinetic. You can never do anything with Kinetic.
Let's talk about that. How did Kinetic come into the picture? And how did it come into the picture from studying the Purbright Institute? I think that's a good question. And very briefly, the property that the Purbright Institute sits on and this satellite system also sits on is called the Cobbett Hill Earth Station. And the property of the Cobbett Hill Station in parliamentary records was controlled by this Kinetic company that was set up in November of 2001. And that was a consolidation of all the British experimental stations and research stations throughout the country was all combined through a British knight who we don't need to talk about now, but we've done some background checking on him. Anyway, he was tasked with consolidating all this R&D into one place. Now, that's always a danger in a government, isn't it? But then they took about 75% of that activity and, quote, privatized it through this Kinetic company. And as we know from military guys, Kinetic means you're going hot. You're starting to shoot people at that point. So that's a curious name they chose for Kinetic. And so that company began with this sweetheart deal with the Crown. And remarkably, in the Companies House documents on the formation of Kinetic, they do not hide. They actually say that the Crown holds a special share, which gives her complete control over this Kinetic company from the get-go. And that's the most clear description of the Queen's golden share that we've ever seen. And so they weren't hiding the fact that the Queen controls this company. And going forward, then they started getting all of these funding facilities. So they started out with over $750 million of funding from three banks, which they don't identify. But from some of the records, they kind of let slip. It's probably J.P. Morgan, the Bank of England, and what was the other one? Investec out of South Africa, which is Lord Mark Malik Brown. And then they move forward. They start acquiring all these sweetheart contracts with the British Ministry of Defense. And then very quickly, they start getting American business. Now, Here we have a British-owned and controlled company getting defense contracts in the United States. And I'm going to bottom line this. To this day, Kinetic has received over $8 billion in U.S. military defense, space wars, emergency systems, contracts in the United States. Another company that was formed at the very same time in the United States was Serco Inc. And Serco is also a Crown Golden Share controlled company that has had over $9 billion worth of government contracts in the U.S. And both of those companies are heavily invested in controlling most of our critical infrastructure for defense and intelligence in the United States, in addition to the fact that they do the same in the United Kingdom, which would also mean the Commonwealth. So here we've got two queen-controlled companies running military and intelligence for the entire planet. That's a bottom line. This is just outrageous.
Well, I add that to previous research that was done that the Lockheed Martin's L3, the largest corporate intelligence group in the world and in America, is also owned by the Queen through the Golden Shares. Now, when we're talking about this, let's remember that Kinetic also includes DERA. DERA is the British DARPA.
Yes.
And that's, in America, that's the Defense Agency Research, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. Got to think about that one. And we all know that that's where the evil of weaponization comes. Anything that could be weaponized is planned through DARPA. Well, guess what? DARPA is directly giving all that information to DERA, which is the British version of it. So when we say Kinetic, we're not just talking, we're talking about the weirdest conglomeration of powerful forces that I've ever seen, ever, period. We're talking about with the banks, we're talking about propaganda, we're talking about the press, we're talking about satellites, we're talking about counterintelligence, we're talking about spying, we're talking about big pharma, we're talking about control of everything. And what do they have? Hegemony. Complete control is what's on their mind. Now, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say something crazy, but here it is. I believe that what you discovered with Kinetic, if you actually at even one of their sites, but the Cobit Hill site is a perfect example. The Cobit Hill site is very much like what we have in America with the National Security Agency called Fort Meade, Maryland. There's only a very small building, but then thousands of cars come and park there. Why? Because it's all underground. I believe that Cobit Hill, by looking at the antenna arrays and looking at the way it's laid out, that there's a great deal of stuff underground and that they're doing just about every type of research imaginable as well as military intervention. So, since they are directly connected to the BBC, the Empire Press Union, the Pilgrim Society, the Fabian Society, literally the groups that we have been describing, the Cecil Rhodes Roundtable, Milner's Roundtable, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, all of these groups have their propaganda, don't they? And when we read our newspaper or we go to news, who's the first to report on the most delicate issues here in America? The BBC. Somehow the BBC always is ahead of American news. No, here's the reality. There is a group that controls everything that happens in mainstream media that is read, and that's the reason you always hear the same propaganda nonsense at the same time, same exact words. It's called ISIS management. We have pointed out, especially the researchers with Michael McKibben and his researchers, that ISIS is referring to the Thames River and that ISIS management is a British company, and they have a group called AVID, and they provide what is read by on the prompters for all mainstream media. So AVID ISIS management is British. But we kept saying, and I have said this since the moment that we discovered this, which was quite some time ago, where is their headquarters that they are actually writing the news and sending it out via satellite and via Reuters, Thompson, and via the AP? I suggest to you, and it's speculation, that it is in fact Kinetic. And I suggest to you that it is in fact Cobit Hill, and that Cobit Hill is a rogue intelligence agency that is corporate, that works directly for the Queen. And it cannot be questioned, as we pointed out, they have members on their board who are literally previously or currently in charge of the Bank of England. So all the money, nobody can question any of the money. For instance, I also believe,
Douglas, we might as well say it here. In 2006, the former CIA director, George Tenet, became a director. And then at the same time, the former deputy chief of staff for the what's that group that advises the president?
Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Joint Chiefs of Staff became a director. And as far as I know, he's still a director of Kinetic. So here we've got very treasonous relationships going on here.
Well, you have pointed out it looks like retiring CIA heads go directly to Kinetic.
Right.
It's just disgusting. How can that be that there is a corporate group that makes money but hides under a charity and a trust that is immune of everything, absolute impunity they can act with because the Queen protects them. It's in Britain. And it has all of our top people going to work for them to take everything they knew as their top secret information and
to
share
help
it.
Them get, and to help them ensconce themselves in the United States.
Yes. And
Admiral Edmund P. Giambastiani Jr. Is the other director with Tennant.
And basically, they know more than we know. Because they, first off, this is a monopoly sanctioned by the British government, the United Kingdom, protected by the monarchy and the Privy Council, and by an amazing, horrifying, literally, mess of interwoven corporations that when one falls, the next one simply goes on and literally pays no taxes. They never pay taxes. They always devolve to a trust or a charity where no taxes are being paid, but they still make a ton of money before it gets to the charity. I've never seen anything like it. The British have it all worked out. So what I'm going to suggest is Serco, the very corrupt company, one of the worst in the world, that is controlling the United Kingdom and controlling America, all of our data, control of all the movement of everything in America practically, is controlled by Serco contracts. Now, Serco got hit with an $86 billion fine for fraud. It didn't include America, which it would be bigger if it had. What happened? Nothing happened. No, I'm not sure about that. How about Carlyle Group? When it was found out that the Carlyle Group had all these no-bid contracts for Iraq, it disappeared.
Can I point out that Carlyle Group was the original funder before the banks came in? They were the original funder of Kinetic.
And that's what I'm pointing out.
And I'll mention one other thing, that Kinetic, in their annual reports, boast that they handle the inventory tracking system for the U.S. Army all over the planet. Now, every time I say that, I just get so infuriated that our people that we put trust in Washington, have given the control and they've given the information that's vital to our national security to be handled by a bunch of bozos sitting underground in Cobit Hill, undermining everything that our army does. That's just, I don't know how to describe how disgusting that is.
When I think that we have to ask the Brits where our soldiers are, who's there, and their lives are on the line, and we have to go through the Brits for our patents, for our pharmacy, for our military, for our intelligence, for our satellite connections, for our crypto keys. This is disgusting. What don't the Brits have control of? So I'm suggesting that they literally control our news.
Yeah.
And that it comes from one place. And what you will notice is when that news comes, it won't have any byline. There'll be no imprint of who took the photos, who wrote the stories, or anything. But because they come through the channels of the Associated Press or Reuters Thompson or Five Eyes, or British intelligence, then it's 100% acceptable. What I'm telling you is this corporate group doesn't tell us what they know, but they control what we know.
They told us in 1909 and reinforced it in many public documents that they believe their job is to create public opinion. And they have not stopped trying to do that.
Well, your research is mind-boggling, but this one is absolutely... It leaves me breathless. I don't have enough breath to express how disturbed I am by the fact that the research that we've been doing now for a couple of years has led to a place where is it a coincidence that this whole Q phenomena, that there's a company that starts with Q and ends with Q and doesn't have a U after either one of them? I mean, this company says what I always point out. In the National Security Agency, it was filled with a bunch of geeks, right? And we thought it was funny to name things funny things when we were doing weird stuff. So I suggest they named this kinetic because it means going ballistic. It means killing people. And that they could put the Q at the beginning and Q at the end, which I said earlier was the joke. It's the Queens from beginning to end. And it is the Queens from beginning to end. And you can't question it. So if we want to say to anybody, oh, we need to look into whether, say, Kinetic has paid taxes or whether Kinetic is connected to Huawei, okay? Because if Kinetic is connected to Huawei, we can't do any business with them according to the law that Trump has set down. But since they're corporate and they're hidden, we don't really know. But I guarantee you that, yes, of course, the Chinese have already penetrated the British system. That everybody knows that. It's already been demonstrated. And that's the reason Trump can't do business with the Brits. And I said this earlier, there will be no Brexit deal until they solve the Chinese spying issue. Now, if Cobit Hill is the ultimate spyer on the world and China is spying on them, then China has what they have. Now, this is just absolutely disturbing because China had everything we had in America because they had been invited in. All their microchips, all their capacitors, all their ZTEs, all equipment, all their Huawei equipment, all these sensitive areas in all of our military was filled with Chinese equipment. Trump came in, got rid of it all. Sorry, folks. Same thing with Kinetic. We have to disassociate ourselves with that group. And when we do, then we'll find out if their transmissions that are going to the whole world because they have the best satellite link up I've ever seen is really producing what I speculate is AVID and ISIS management's propaganda in America.
Oh, by the way, they do hosting services for the U.S. Patent Office. So here we've got Serco running the Patent Office applications, and we've got Kinetic doing hosting services. So you better believe that every patent application, all the data, I'm sure, they've just got an open access to the database for all activity of the U.S. Patent Office. And that's consistent with what we've seen that goes all the way back to the 1880s and de Worms. They knew that the future value of the world resource was going to be patents. And so they decided very early to steal them. And they had to do it in such a way and give inventors enough of reward so that they would keep inventing, but not too much reward so that they would threaten their power. And so that's what they've done. And they've used the venture capital system in the U.S. and around the world to find the new suckers who will give them their ideas. And eventually they'll buy them out and get them out of the way so that they can weaponize these things for these oligarch companies. And, now we see what's going on. We see how they did it, why they did it, and where they're going with it. But let me add a couple more layers to the Pirbright, the Lord Pirbright story, because at his death, he had no sons. So he did not pass on his property. And so what we do see is that about a year after he received a 350,000 pound inheritance, which were back in 1880s, was an enormous amount of money. He started, that was at the same time that he bankrolled the Stanley exhibition or the exploration of Stanley on one of his explorations of South Africa. So he was obviously had a lot of money to burn. And the other thing he did is he started buying up all the property around Pirbright. And what we see now in the vicinity of Pirbright is a military installation, and it's actually called the Pirbright Army Training Center. I think that's right, ATC Pirbright. And at that facility, they train British recruits, including their intelligence recruits and their bio warfare recruits. And literally, these people are close enough to ride their bikes over to the Pirbright Institute. That's how close. So this is an entire military operation housed on the Pirbright property, which we believe and are pretty sure he gave to the Ministry of Defense on or before his death. And because some people said the transfer of property was quite questionable at the time, and that the center for the British Army control of intelligence and biowarfare is right there, including Cobbett Hill and the Pirbright Institute. So whenever you say Cobbett Hill, you might as well say the Pirbright Institute in the same breath, because they're on the same property. And that open field between them is what you're saying, probably the underground facility.
Yes. Well, you know, I want to reiterate something that we haven't mentioned for a while. And that's that when the Rothschilds weaponized banking and it moved into England and literally took over the Bank of England and took over being the administrator of the Queen's business, which means all the entire Bank of England, all the money from the monarchy, basically the entire United Kingdom's money, all has to have the Queen's nod before anybody can do anything. So the Queen acts like she's not in charge, but you know, her last speech to the Parliament, she said, "my," over 100 times. My people, my, yes, well, guess what? That is literally true. It is hers, whether you like it or not. So what we're seeing here is when Henry de Worms, whose father, Solomon de Worms, was really the Austrian court Jew, and the Rothschilds, who were Germans, who changed their name, of course, and moved to England, and then they became the court Jews of England. Well, de Worms came over and kind of got into this institutionalized system of weaponized banking. And who was it that taught them that? That was Giuseppe Mazzini, who we've done entire long, long reports on how the corrupt bankers of Venice moved up into Europe, finally into Germany and into Holland, and then they moved to England, and they controlled all of the banks of Europe. And they, who were they? It's not a myth. The five Rothschild brothers, and now we know also Rothschild's relatives, like de Worms, Henry de Worms, Lord Pirbright. These people were weaponizing banking at the time. Now, banking, we got to see what happened with the banking for the Transvaal or for South Africa, or they saw the way the Austrians did it in Ceylon, or the way the British East India Company did it through the whole world, everywhere they could rip off. That's what they did. But it all came back to banking. So when we're looking at this, what exploded my brain the worst was to find out there was a branch of the Rothschilds, the de Worms, the Pirbright, Lord Pirbright, that literally were openly doing these things and saying, we're just simply going to take control of not even industries like gold and diamond, which they took absolute control of that. But they, remember, the Rothschilds set the LIBOR rate. They set the rate for gold and silver for, I don't even know how long, for so long, I can't remember, only in the last few years did they not do it. So the Rothschilds literally controlled what the value and the price of silver and gold were on any one day for the whole world. And that's the reason Reuters Thompson was never a news agency that was part of the Fourth Estate. It was always a banking manipulative propaganda tool. So to hear now how the de Worms, Henry de Worms, basically said, okay, let's take that now to the whole world, and not just through the Empire Press, through newspapers and through wireless, let's take it through satellite, through everything digitized, through the internet, through news, through everything that is given out in the news, everything that is programmed on the television. And that's what it looks like this was, another Rothschild takeover of a section of the control, the hegemony of the whole world through the most vile and disgusting methodologies that we have actually run across, literally depopulation through vaccination and experimental inoculation, using money from the Wellcome Trust Company, for God's sake. That's absurd that the people who made money killing people with drugs don't have to pay taxes, as they then do new experimentations on new drugs that kill people.
And they got laws written in the U.S. where they can't be held liable.
But in England, they can get away with it because it's the Queen's business and you can't ask about it. So you have done it again. And I don't know what to do except to say that we now have found what was the imaginary Q. You know, this is the real Q. This mm-hmm. is the real source of what is happening now, today. These are the people using the forensic laboratory institute's research to scrub the net, to scrub the news. These are the same people. And those are the programs. And where do they always come out of? In every case, Britain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they saw a good deal with the deal they cut with the British monarch. And they've doubled down ever since and passed that same power onto their children and now their grandchildren. And what is encouraging about their grandchildren is they don't seem to be as committed to the vision as their predecessors, and they don't seem to be as smart either. I mean, these guys were ruthless and they were smart. And one of our folks is putting together a montage of the pictures of these people. So we put names and faces to names, and what you will see in their countenances is an incredible arrogance that. You know, they knew they could not be touched, and they had the protection of the Queen and the British Navy, the British Army behind them the entire time. And so they pushed then two world wars to get what they wanted. And then they pushed additional propaganda, false flags to this very day. And of course, we haven't talked about the Federal Reserve in this, but this occurred within 20 years of the people we're talking about. And so after they were unsuccessful at getting their League of Nations pushed through, which we now see the actual records in the War Cabinet in let's see, what date was that? 1917, Charles Masterman and John Buchan were pushing the idea of the League of Nations in the War Cabinet at that time. And then we see that they said, well, we've got to carry forward with this effort that Cecil Rhodes has encouraged us to do to get America back into the fold. So they roped in Andrew Carnegie, who started working on the educational system in our country and the library system to make it more pro-British. And then they got their bankers to start working on how they could set up a Federal Reserve system and actually give up the sovereignty of American currency to these internationalists. And stupidly, we did it. And hopefully that's going to be undone. It seems you're right, the money. If Serco and Kinetic went away and the Federal Reserve went away, that would cause massive changes in what we see going on, I believe.
Well, you nailed it. The same weaponized bankers who were taking over the world took over America in 1913 through the U.S. Federal Reserve, and that's history. Very clear. We've gone over it many times. So the other thing is, as you pointed out, the institutionalized corporate dynasties, they get so lazy, their children get so lazy that, you know, they go out and they brag about what they do.
Right.
They put it on their websites. It's like, hi, we're eugenicists, and we believe that depopulation is the number one issue. What did I just read? That's who these
people are. Let me read you a press release. When Cobot Hill Earth Station was ostensibly sold to a German corporation called CETEL, and CEO of CETEL, Guido Neumann, I kid you not, that's his name, Guido, he said in his description of Cobot Hill, he said, Cobot Hill is located only 25 miles from central London in the UK and occupies a 7-acre secure compound on 200 acres of land. So that confirms all of our research from the Parliament records. Currently, it houses more than 25 antennas with active operations on 13 satellites, plus spare capacity, enabling quick turnaround times on even short notice customer requirements. Due to the location's historical use by the British Ministry of Defense, it has blanket planning permission for unlimited antenna installations within the 200 acres and operate within an RF exclusion zone, preventing any local interference. Now, Doug, you were in the NSA. You know about this stuff. What is he telling us there?
He's telling us very clearly, and you can read it right on the website, that they use what's called in-band, propagation and reception. So basically they're doing up to 500 gigahertz, which means they can do accelerated particle beams from their property that literally they can blow satellites out of the sky. They can do anything. And that's what they're broadcasting there, that they have a 7-acre secure site, but 200 other acres. That means they have a huge underground facility. That's what they're telling you. They're also advertise. They do everything. There's nothing they don't do. Nothing. Nothing. If you want, literally, they insinuate that they can do everything from spying on phones to satellites to experimental projects to things like DARPA, you know, their DERA, all these things. And what they're saying is they're completely immune and they're outside of the broadcast zone. So when they set up the broadcast zones in Britain, they made sure no one could spy on this facility. That's what that means. And it also means that when they are spying, that nothing gets in their way. So to brag about that and then to sell it to a German company shows that, hello, if they just sold Cobalt Hill to a German company, now Germany is part of Five Eyes, and I don't trust Angela Merkel at all because of all the lies that I've heard her say, and I don't trust a company, a country that has been told you can't have a standing army that now has one, along with France. We're in an age of insanity, but the war between Britain and Germany was not only a germ warfare in World War I and II, as you pointed out, but it continues to this very day. Now, I just want to close this by saying, you blew my mind. My skull exploded. My brain fell out of the room, and I'm trying to put them back in my skull. So we're going to have to talk about this again.
That's an ugly scene.
Yeah, I know. It's a really ugly sight, and it creates a mess. So I have to get you to promise to come back to talk about Kinetic again. Because when we get back a ways and we can get some perspective on this, I think we're going to see even more. Now, if you go any deeper and your researchers go any deeper than what you have revealed so far with this, I don't know. I'm breathless with this one. I don't know what I'll do the next time. So make sure I'm sitting down if you're going to tell me any further revelations that are as shocking as the ones that you've brought for us today, Michael.
Well, let me close on the CTEL Cobalt Hill ownership. This CTEL company, which is German, was quickly flipped into another company that was funded by a British financing organization, which has two directors. One is currently controlling a company called Access, which is the merged companies. And on he's on the board with Sir Roy A. Gardner. And Sir Roy A. Gardner is the chairman of Serco. So here we see this game that these guys try to play with the shell game of corporations to try to hide that they never really got away from the Queen, even though what they've done here is because of all these flips, there's no reporting requirement. There's no transparency requirement to the British people of what these guys are doing by the way they've played this game.
Well, that's just proof that when it comes to the researchers, and when it comes to Aim for Truth, when it comes to Betsy's team, and when it comes to the Americans for Innovation, and when it comes to Leader Technologies and the researchers, that these people, and this is proof, they can run, but they cannot hide.